Good morning to each one. We want to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here with you again this morning. Well, there's many strange faces this morning, but I trust that we come together to worship the Lord. And I believe if that's our focus this morning, we will receive a blessing. This morning we'd like to look at one of the most well-known and beautiful chapters of the Bible. And this is not a psalm either. There's many beautiful psalms, and I think Psalm 91 is one of those. But this chapter I'd like to look at is called, or it could be called, the Lost and the Found chapter, where Jesus gives three parables that I think in reality they form just one parable. This is found in Luke chapter 15, where Jesus gives the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The parable of the lost and found. And I think this parable illustrates very clearly the heart of God for a lost humanity. A relationship and usefulness that's been lost by man's sin. God yearns, He longs to have that relationship restored. Now, God is not someone that is uncaring, unfeeling, as some might think. But He has a yearning love for all people, especially lost people. And I think we'll just take time to read this whole chapter. Maybe mention here at the beginning, this is the only place where the lost coin and the lost son are mentioned. I think Matthew 18 does contain the parable of the lost sheep. I'd like to read chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks which the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came, drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive, and was lost and is found. Well, going back to the first two verses there in the setting, I think this chapter was given somewhat as a response or to the complaint of the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, this man receives sinners. He's friends with them. He eats with them. And it seems like Jesus' teaching just kind of attracted these people. According to what I read, these publicans and sinners were not necessarily just the down and outs, but rather those that maybe didn't keep all the Jewish regulations. These proud churchmen here, these scribes and Pharisees, they simply could not conceive this love that Jesus had for, or that he would associate with these sinners, the unlovely of society. But as Jesus taught the people, I believe these sinners, these publicans, began to see their need and see their lost condition. And I think they were reaching out to Jesus to become found. And meanwhile, the scribes and the Pharisees here, they maybe remained in the father's house. I think they were likened to the elder brother. They were unmoved, uncaring as these lost were being found. And this chapter comes on the heels of chapter 14, where Jesus gives the parable of the Great Supper. Those that were invited, they refused to come. And so the invitation was extended to the poor, to the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And Jesus had spoken some hard things to these people, spoken on discipleship. Then he said, the last part of the chapter there, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I think these publicans and sinners were listening. But the scribes and Pharisees seemed like it fell on deaf ears. And maybe we'll talk more on the elder brother later on. I'd like to look now, first of all, at God's love to the lost. You know, God cares about every lost individual. God cares about that one sheep that was lost. You know, He doesn't say, well, I have 99% in the sheepfold, and they're doing just fine. It's no big deal that this one sheep didn't come home. It's too bad that, you know, you got sidetracked there and fell off the cliff. Or the woman with 10 pieces of silver. You know, it's just one piece. It's no big loss there. I still have 9 pieces. Maybe sometime I'll find it, but I'll just fix the hole in my purse and keep those nine safe. Or the case of the lost son. You know, the father could have said, well, I have one son at home yet. He's getting the work done. We'll get along with that rebel somehow. But no, in all three stories, we see the picture of a loving and a caring God that turns aside to find that lost one. And I think these parables here is really a story of the grace of God. And he seeks out the sheep with the wounded leg or that hurting heart. You know, he seeks out that coin that's maybe fallen through the cracks so that it can be restored to its usefulness, to its full potential. And his heart yearned for the rebellious son that was seeking satisfaction out there in the world. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice those two words, any and all. So that lost one is very important to God. And I think as Christians here this morning, we should be living evidence of that truth. God sought to seek and to save that which is lost. And, you know, the shepherd went out into the cold, dark night. And Christ came willingly into this enemy territory. He faced rejection, even the death of the cross, so that lost one could be found. And you know, that lost one was me. Lost one was you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So really, God went all out to save the lost soul. And if you think about it, he saves one lost soul at a time. Even though there are millions or billions of people living on earth, Christ knocks on the heart store of every individual with his Holy Spirit. You know, God does not force us to be found. As individuals, we have a free will. You know, God lets us do our own thing, like the prodigal son. He lets him live and with all the world's pleasures. He lets him have that freedom to sow just as many wild oats as his heart desired. You know, I think this son discovered something. He discovered God's law of sowing and reaping. There was a harvest. There was a time of reaping. You know, sin, I think, seemed to satisfy for a while. But it always brings a harvest of poverty and of guilt and of regret. You know, sin may seem so exciting in its beginning, but the end result is, we can see here, it's disgusting, it's heart-wrenching. It says this son came face-to-face with a famine, a mighty famine. You know, his pockets that had been so full were now empty. His stomach was growling. Out there in the pig pen, he would have eaten that pig food, you know, those empty husks, if he could have. You know, he said he was literally starving to death. But you know, when the lost seek to be found, God is instantly there. You know, when the heart's ready to repent of sin and corruption, God takes us in with all our dirty, stinking rags, and he cleans us up. Isn't that really amazing love? Are you thankful that God's love found you? I'd like to look now at God's divine ownership of the lost. The shepherd said, I have found my sheep, which was lost. The father said, this is my son, which was dead and is alive again. You know, we're God's possession by creation and also by redemption. You know, he has a rightful claim to my life, to your life, to our abilities, to our gifts. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, man was designed and created by God. In the beginning, there was perfect fellowship there in the Garden of Eden. But we know the story. When man rebelled against God, he became the enemy of God. He was in the enemy's camp. Of course, Satan was behind all this. Really, he's the one that stole the hearts of men away from God. And we became a part of his kingdom. And so all mankind today are born in rebellion to God. And you know, God didn't really owe us a thing. He had no obligation to provide salvation for us. He could have said, well, you know, that's it. They're going to get what they deserve, and damnation of hellfire. But God loved us. He bought us back with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he continues to knock on our heart's door, especially those of the lost. And when we stray from that sheepfold, he wants us back. Because really, we're his. We're not Satan's. You know, how it must rend the heart of God when he continues to knock and we pretend that, you know, he's not there. We don't even care. Well, Ephesians 2 is another lost and found chapter. Beautiful chapter. Not going to take time to read it all. Just a few verses. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he goes on to say, you walked according to the course of this world. You did just what you pleased. But then he says in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are God's by creation, and we are God's by redemption. I'd like to look now at God's persistence. It tells us shepherd sought out that sheep until he found it. You know, that woman lit a candle and swept the house and sought till she found that lost coin. You know, that father saw his son while he was a great way off. Maybe it was months, maybe it was years. But the father's heart was longing to have his son restored. And I think it's interesting here too, these three parables, I think we can see the work of the Trinity. God the Son as the suffering shepherd, leaving heaven's comfort to seek out the lost. And the woman is typical of the Holy Spirit there. He's lit a candle in the hearts of men and sweeping out the dark corners by his convicting work. And then we have the fatherhood of God, suffering because of lost humanity. You know, from our perspective, we look out and we see the suffering of humanity. It's all around us. But I believe our missionary work would be a lot more effective, be more in earnest if we could really get into the heart of God. You know, God desires the salvation of every soul, and he continues to seek out and to knock. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hopeless, deplorable, He's provided a way to be found. For by grace are you saved. That involves a choice we have to make, and we'll look at that a little bit later. Another thing we see here is that God in heaven rejoice when the lost is found. Verse 10 there, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know, I think we know that there is a battle that's raging. And this battle is fought in the hearts of men. And Satan is competing for God's kingdom to gain that soul for his side. He wants to keep it on his side. But when God finds one more lost soul, all of heaven rejoices. When just one man or one woman says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. When the sinner says, you know, I'm a dirty, rotten, hopeless, lost. I need your mercy and grace. I need that cleansing blood of Jesus to get rid of my sin. And then all heaven seems like it erupts in joy. And God reaches down and makes him his child. Brings him into the sheepfold. Restores that full potential again. The lost is found and heaven gets noisy as the plan of salvation has done its work again. Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. And I think it's a time for joy and gladness. It's a time to be merry. This my son was lost and now he's found. And I think as Christians, nothing should fill us with more joy than to see another soul that's added to the kingdom. We rejoice with the angels. Well, we've looked now at maybe God's side of things, his divine perspective, his provision for every lost person to be found. But let's look now at our side. What was our condition? Man's lost condition. And you know, in each of these parables, something was lost. You know, man's lostness, if you could put it that way, is just a given. Because no one of us can say, I was never lost. Not one of us can say, I've never sinned. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Romans 3:12 says, they're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. For there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 23 of the same chapter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the very fact that God sent his Son into the world attests to the fact that of our lost condition. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come to call the righteous or the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. Another fact about this lost condition is we're lost without God's intervention. You know, there's no way that we can save ourselves. The songwriter put it, we're the whole realm of nature mind, that were a present far too small. If we held all the world's riches in our hands, we could never buy our way out of the mess that sin has caused in our life. Or we can try to outweigh our bad deeds with good deeds. The Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, those same rags that with the filth and muck of the pigs that a lost son had. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant's promise, having no hope without God in the world. If you think about being lost, you know, it's really a wretched condition. If you ever been in a blizzard Maybe you're up in the mountains and you have no idea which way is north or south. And everything starts looking the same, and east seems like west, and pretty soon up seems like it's down. And you begin to lose hope of ever being found. Well, it says the prodigal son began to be in want. He began to wake up to the fact that really he was lost. He was in a squeeze that he couldn't help himself. And things were out of control. It was spiraling downward. You know, I think sometimes God allows hardship and these famines to come into our life just to get us to see how lost we really were, really are. But then God lights a candle. He sweeps. He calls the erring sheep. You know, he's waiting for that son's return. Well, thirdly, being lost is a deliberate choice. I think both the sheep and the son chose the course that got them lost. And while it's true that we do have a fallen nature, we've inherited that, but we're also guilty of personal sin. We're responsible for our lost condition. And that awareness of sin awakens perhaps at the age of accountability. You know, most times we choose to stay in that lost condition, at least for a time. But God continues to seek and to knock. A couple of weeks ago, it's on a Saturday afternoon, a couple of cows and a calf got spooked and at our place there and decided it was time to run away. Maybe that's kind of what got me thinking on the sermon anyway, but these cows got to the place that I don't think they knew where they were anymore. They got in the woods and hid in the underbrush, and once in a great while we got sight of them. And this seemed like they enjoyed that freedom, doing their own thing. It seemed to... Well, this game kind of went on for a few hours there, but if a cow could choose, they chose to be lost. To make a longer story shorter, that we sought them out, and eventually I think they were content to be back home again. But this so-called freedom was a dangerous place to be. It was all a mirage. But back to us, being lost from God involves a personal, deliberate choice to wander away. Let's look now at this thing of being found. How do we become found? Well, to be found, we must yield our lives to the Father. We have to submit to the Shepherd. You know, we must welcome the lit candle, the sweeping of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that can be uncomfortable. Requires honesty and humility to arise and return, to confess our sin. You know, this is where I was. This is why I was there. This is how I got there. And we have to come to the place, it's not so important what people think, but what God thinks. You know, Father, I have sinned. This is what I did. I was proud. I was willfully taking my own way. You know, it's so much more than telling God or maybe your brethren, you know, I messed up a little bit here. Hope you can get over it. Actually, it was really somebody else's fault, what I did. Or why can't people just forgive me? You know, the lost son said, I have sinned. I'm lost. I need salvation. You know, I must have that peace with God restored. Do anything to... I'll do anything it takes, even though there will be consequences. But he accepted those consequences without any demands. In fact, he had it all thought through, how he would tell his father, just make me as one of thy hired servants, not worthy to be called your son. And I think godly sorrow demonstrates grief over one's sinfulness toward God, as well as the pain it's caused others. You know, this son had caused much grief to the heart of his father. I believe he had grieved the shepherd. He had grieved the Holy Spirit. To be found also involves restoration of sonship. You know, when this son left home, he had his pockets full of money. He was wearing good clothes. He anticipated the good times he was going to have in that far country. But this journey homeward was quite different. Here he was, tired and dirty and ragged. And there was only just this one little spark in his heart of hope. Someone has said that this was the greatest home run ever made. Here was a young man that knew he was lost, and his greatest desire was to be found. And I think this story vividly illustrates the heart of God to forgive and to forget. You know, as humans, I think it's possible with God's help to forgive. Maybe we won't always forget everything. But with God, He truly forgets. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And God desires to restore relationships, and He made it possible by sending Jesus. You know, He didn't send Jesus to bring judgment, to bring condemnation, but rather to find the lost, to restore peace. Again, from Ephesians 2:13-14, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And we see the picture here of the father running to meet his son, falling on his neck and kissed him. And the tense of the Greek verb there indicates the father repeatedly kissed him. You know, wait a minute. He was not clean. You know, he had that filth, the smell of the pigs on his garments. Maybe we see the horror on the faces of scribes and Pharisees here. But no, the father gladly receives him. He kisses him. Seems like he sacrificed all his dignity. The son quickly makes his confession. "Father, I have sinned. No more worthy to be called your son." And I think he was going to say more. But his father stops him. He says, "You know, where's the robe? Where's the ring? Where's the shoes?" And I think these were the proof of the father's acceptance, his ownership, his restoration of his son. "This is my son, which was dead, but now lives. He was lost, and now he's found." And I believe that can be the status of each one of us. God is seeking to save every lost individual. You know, really, the father had every right to give that son what he deserved. You know, where's the whip? Where's the handcuffs? Where's the sword? But instead, he restores that relationship with his son. You know, the story doesn't quite end yet. And maybe it's our tendency to think, well, you know, I'm not as bad as this prodigal son. Never gone to the depths of sin. I'd like to look at the sin of the elder brother. You know, this son was very critical and full of contempt for his younger brother, and he refused to join the party. Now tells his father, look what this son of yours did, where he's been. And I think Jesus was pointing out there to the scribes and Pharisees that this older brother was just as much of a prodigal as his younger brother. You know, when the prodigal returned, the older brother went to that far country also. But it was a far country of bitterness and resentment. This respectable son was also a rebel. He was lost in his father's house. Now, is it possible for people to become lost within the church? I believe it is. Perhaps spiritual pride enters, or spiritual deadness, lukewarmness. You know, all these years I've been serving in, what do I get out of it? Again, the focus was pretty self-serving. It's all on himself and not really that loving relationship to his father. And I believe it's a danger for us as well. As Christians, I think we need to continually acknowledge and confess our needs, our sin, turn to the loving Father, lest pride and complacency cause us to lose that relationship with our Father. Well, this morning, I don't know the condition of your hearts, but you know, if there's just one person here this morning with a lost condition before God, you can be assured that God is seeking you. Seeking to find that lost sheep. Or maybe you feel like you've kind of fallen through the cracks and nobody cares. Well, the Holy Spirit is faithful in lighting a candle to sweep out those dusty corners. He wants to restore us to our full potential. Or perhaps, is it possible that someone's seeking satisfaction in those empty husks of the world? Well, the Father is watching with compassion, even if you're a long way off. Maybe closer home. You know, it's possible to be lost in the Father's house, satisfied that maybe we've never been in the pig pen. Maybe unwilling to get our hands dirty lest we lose our dignity. You know, God is compassionate. He's merciful. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he wants every lost person to sit down to his supper that's even now being prepared. And I trust this morning that as we look at these parables, that this chapter, that we can see in a measure the heart of God and his beautiful mercy, his grace toward each one of us. May God bless each one of you this morning. Let's kneel together for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you again this morning.